Welcome to a Nerd Science episode of the Click Nations Comic Book Chronicles. Whoa.
That was loud. That is not something I can control on this. I know Hangouts is updated.
Yeah, I guess I know Google said it updated Hangouts.
Be drowning you guys out all night with this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Google Hangouts provided by Bose Stereo. Right.
Now with Beats Audio.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? That's funny. Is there a control room setting I can fix so that I don't drown out our entire conversation tonight?
Craziness.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, I'm your host, Tim D-O-double-G.
Whoa!
People are really excited tonight. Yeah.
We should do more delayed episodes like this.
Oh, this is terrible.
And we've got with us tonight Dirt from PopCultureNetwork.com.
I was gonna take off the headphones because I was afraid it was gonna bust my ears.
This is powerful.
Drop this down.
And we also have Agent 70 working the new and improved sound effects.
Turn off your bass boost, man.
Seriously.
And we have Roddy Cat joining us tonight.
Hello.
Play sound effects.
Yeah. Like more reasonable sound effects. Yeah, while I try to find the settings for this. This is hysterically funny.
We can't lose our sound effects. That's one of the draws of the show.
I know. Oh, I'm not going to turn it. Oh, jeez. This is so funny. If I could just figure out how to turn down the sound. That's funny.
Well, all that's taking place, remember to go to the website, theclicknation.com.
Wait, let's hear it.
Episodes of the Comic Book Chronicles.
Wow, that sounds authentic.
Yeah. Sounds like real coins dropping.
Yeah, seriously.
Also, make sure to follow the Twitter account, at theclicknation. Like the Facebook fan page, facebook.com/theclicknation. Add us to your circles on Google+. Search for the Click Nation and add the page. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/theclicknation. Subscribe on iTunes and Stitch Radio. Use the hashtag Comic Book Chronicles on your favorite social media websites. Remember, we record live usually every Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Usually.
We're a part of the Cold Slither Podcasting Network. Go to coldslitherpodcast.com to find all the different shows that are a part of the network.
And if you ever have audio.
Yeah. If you have any feedback you want to have read on a show, you can use the hashtag, like I said, Comic Book Chronicles, or send us an email to theclicknation@gmail.com.
As long as you're not asking for volume control because we don't have it.
We ain't got it for you.
We ain't got it.
Oh, boy.
So last week, this is going to be, just to let y'all know, since we're starting a little almost hour and a half later than usual, this is going to be an abbreviated show. Definitely news we're going to go through quickly. We'll probably just announce the headline and maybe give a thought or two and keep it moving. We'll still give you your reviews.
You got it.
That's what you come to the show for.
That's right.
That not smiling personalities.
That too. So let's see. News go to the top. So last week, as many of you know, there was the San Diego Comic-Con convention.
And of course, it was dominate Twitter, you know.
Yeah. And for a full recap, make sure to go to theclicknation.com where I have my San Diego Comic-Con 2014 live blog where every day I posted the news that just appeal to me. So you won't find every bit of news on there, but just what caught my eye. Make sure to check that out. Some news from basically all the news that we're about to talk about was announced at the panel or at the convention, more or less. But let's see.
Oh, you might have seen it on News Nerds Need because I was posting there when I could.
Yes, shout out to @newsnerd. Sneed Twitter account, which Radicat runs. Basically, all he updated all the news for us for tonight's show.
What was that name again, Tim?
Nerd Sneed.
I'm sorry, can you say that one more time?
Twice. That's all I got for you.
We're a little punch drunk tonight, folks.
Yeah. You just deal with this.
Like always.
So Mighty Avengers will be coming to an end and be relaunched as Captain America and the Mighty Avengers.
I don't get the name change. Everything else is cool.
I mean, you have to get they should have all new Captain America and the Mighty Avengers in it.
Yes, they missed out the all new.
Yeah, I'm kind
of all new now. Yes, they've missed out on all new and now.
Really? Maybe that's the next one. So,
The Eisner Awards for 2014 were announced. Saga, Hawkeye, and a bunch of other comics won.
Fifth Beetle.
A bunch of other comics.
Wait, did the Fifth Beetle win?
Oh yeah, it did.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome! Shout outs. And to Vivek Tiwari, the writer and former guest of the Comic Book Chronicles. Mm-hmm. Yay! Congratulations. Listen to all those people clapping.
Yeah, it's a packed house. Let's see. Marvel had, of course, their Hall H announcements on Saturday. And they weren't the only ones because I believe Warner Brothers was there too. Had a little thing called Batman Superman, which we'll talk about, I'm assuming, somewhere here. Yep, there it is. All right. Brian Michael Bendis is going to star in Nailbiter, the Image comic book, written by Josh Williamson and I think art by Mike Hawthorne.
So wait a minute. He's going to star in the comic?
Guest star.
Yeah, he's basically, yeah.
So they're going to put...
They're drawing him in.
Drawing him in, or are they drawing him in as the comic book writer, Brian Michael Bendis? They're just going to have like a bald fat guy in the background of the scene.
Do not know.
It's okay. Actually Dr. Right. Evil, but his name's going to be Brian Michael Bendis.
That's probably fair.
Yeah.
Okay. Where am I going? So San Diego Comic-Con, or aka Comic-Con International, sent a cease and desist letter to Salt Lake Comic-Con over the term Comic-Con.
Marvel. Which is funny to me because I remember Chicago Comic-Con,
right?
And that's Wizard World Chicago. And the past 3 or 4 years, Wizard World Chicago has started calling it Wizard World Chicago Comic-Con. So I guess we'll see how this one goes. They may send Wizard a battle. Yeah. I don't think Wizard will let that one go.
Nah, I don't think so.
Okay. Marvel announced 3 Star Wars titles, which will be launching in 2015.
With big creators.
Yeah, big name creators. You have Star Wars from Jason Aaron and John Cassidy, Kieran Gillen, and is it Salvador LaRocca? Yeah, Salvador LaRocca doing the Star Wars Darth Vader, and Mark Waid and Terry Dodson doing Star Wars Princess Leia.
So they're just doing character theme books instead of storyline books.
Well, I guess Star Wars will be the entire cast.
Hmm.
Yeah. Of course, I'd always been wondering if they were going to take sort of up and coming writers or teams and put them on these Star Wars books or start with big name creators. So obviously we see they're going the big name creator route. Hopefully John Cassidy has a whole year lead time.
Yeah, really.
We'll just publish it every other month.
Yep. So look for that in the new year. Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice reveals Wonder Woman costume and a teaser.
Bum, bum, bum.
It was fine.
Play it so we can hear it.
Oh, you want the drama?
Don't be afraid to play the sound effects.
I can only imagine what it's gonna sound like on the recording.
It'll probably sound fine. Like on the recording, it's at the same level. Just for us, it sucks.
That's what a volume control is for, up and down.
All right.
So, Dirt said, "Eh," right to the footage.
Oh, Wonder Woman?
Yes.
I mean, it's fine. It's whatever.
I thought she looked okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't hate it, you know, but I'm not in love with it either. It's just, it exists.
I just wasn't sure why they, why did they invert the tiara? That was the first thing I noticed.
Probably just for the sake of it's easier to wear and not have it fall off when you're jumping and running and doing flips.
I guess. And also, maybe it's just, you know, the days that I was looking at the picture, I didn't really give it a second look. Like at home, I kind of saw it either at work or on my phone. Was her lasso not golden?
I was listening to a podcast this afternoon, actually, and they were saying that, you know how people were complaining about the muted colors in her costume. Right. They were saying that was mostly, that more than likely was a photo thing done.
Right.
And it won't actually be that dark when the
dramatic lighting basically.
But when the movie comes out, so right. That the lasso might be a case of that too.
More than likely.
Actually, I'm looking at it, and the lasso is just kind of on her hip, and you just see the thin sliver of it, you know, just hanging there, because you're looking at it straight on perspective.
Right.
And it's you can't really tell what color it is. Like, all you're really seeing is the light reflecting off of it. So it might be golden. It might be dark brown. It might be white. You can't really tell. I would hope it's not glowing. Like, I don't want it to be like a fake neon, you know, like a day glow stick the whole time.
After the fact.
Yeah, but they'll probably put a little bit of effect on it.
I would assume it would just be a regular. They'll do it where it's just a regular rope, but then once someone gets caught in it, then it'll glow while they're being forced to tell the truth.
Oh, okay.
Right, that's generally how it's depicted nowadays. I know in the past it's been depicted more as a glowing rope, you know, that's sparkling all the time at her hip.
Although, you know, I'm thinking back, I remember when they first revealed the suit for Man of Steel and the muted colors, and everyone was freaking out that it wasn't as bright and, you know, poppy as they wanted it to be. But then once you saw it on screen, it was fine. So this may be another one of those where it looks kind of dark. This is their, you know, first release. But then when you actually see it on screen, it has more color to it that you catch more in the fact that it's in the motion and reflecting the light on the screen as opposed to in the still shot.
Right. So. All right. Well, like, I mean, you know, my basic stance on this is I'm ready to wait and see. You know, all the little nitpicky things aside about Wonder Woman's look, I was fairly okay with it, as non-committal as that sounds, right?
Right.
You know, I was fairly okay with it, so I'm willing to see where it goes. I was happy to see that they did they brought the three of them together. They brought the DC Trinity together on stage, you know, at Comic-Con. I thought that was a good move.
Although Wonder Woman still can't get billing.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's true. She's just a cameo/guest star.
And that teaser, going to the teaser stuff, that didn't even have her in it. It was, as a matter of fact, that teaser stuff leaked not too far after, which I think is off now. But it was, people were sounding like they were going crazy with it, but it wasn't anything that was, like, spectacular.
Yeah.
Or at least as far as I'm concerned, anyway.
It'll help to see it in clear HD instead of, you know, some guy's phone.
Yeah, I don't think it made it that much of a difference, though.
It's no Deadpool test footage, but...
Yeah, really.
Ha! Which I still haven't seen, by the way.
It's pretty good.
No kidding.
You do yourself a favor. And
yeah, it's pretty good.
Is it really?
Yes. It's fun, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even like Deadpool. I would watch that.
No kidding.
I heard people saying like that, it would... Like an hour, 2 hour and a half, or 2 hours of that would get old. But
they wouldn't do that straight through for an hour and 2 hours.
They don't do anything just straight the entire an entire movie.
Right.
So Angela is from, of course, who's revealed to be Loki and Thor's sister. Set to go start in a new ongoing series from Kieran Gillen. Wait, what?
Margaret Bennett.
Oh, Margaret Bennett. I was like, who's this Bennett? Yeah, Margaret Bennett.
Tony Bennett. Tony Bennett's getting in on the comics.
Jimenez and Hans.
Gruber?
Look at Stephanie Hans. She's doing the covers. And I'm not sure who the Jimenez is.
Is that Phil Jimenez?
I'm assuming I'm probably an inker, maybe.
Hector. You know, the guy who played Pedro in Napoleon Dynamite.
Phil Jimenez is a penciler, so
it's Phil.
Marguerite Bennett is a writer, so I'm guessing Phil Jimenez is the artist on this. And that would be a pretty good get for Marvel to have, you know, to have him doing the art on Angela.
Actually, I guess he might be because
yeah, he is. To just look through it.
There you go. Do you want to read an Angela book?
It depends what happens with her after the 10th Realm stuff.
Correct. I think that's a good way to put it.
Well, and where it will be set, because, I mean, I guess it would be there, but I feel like they have to be more than just there.
But, yeah, I mean, I'll always at least check out the first issue, and then I'll take it from there. All right, next up. Mike Tyson is going to join Tony to talk about
No, don't skip that part. Just get through.
Okay. So Mike Tyson's getting a cartoon on Cartoon Network's Adult Swim, I believe. Correct.
Yeah, correct.
That's pretty funny. I saw like a couple of images. It definitely looks like Mike Tyson crossed with Scooby Doo.
Yeah, it was basically like the old Mr. T cartoon.
That's very funny.
Without the extra kids, you know, or Clue Club or something.
That is too funny.
And I believe that it was announced that Jamie Foxx is going to be playing Mike Tyson in a movie.
That's correct. Yep.
No kidding.
Yep, that was announced today, I believe.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah.
I'll go ahead and announce it now. Jamie Foxx is playing me in an upcoming movie about my life.
Nice.
Because that's what he does now. Is he's just. Him and Michael Caine in every movie.
Classic material.
I was about to bring it up.
Person running the Cults of the Podcast Network chimes in and says, people couldn't support Lady Sif on Journey into Mystery. Why would they support an Angela book?
And that's kind of where I was thinking with that.
Valid point.
It is a good point.
It depends on how hard Marvel pushes her down our throats.
Yeah.
Let's see what else we have. So also announced at San Diego Comic-Con by Marvel was a new Spider-Woman ongoing from Dennis Hopeless and Greg Land.
Oh, Greg Land comes back again.
Yeah. And this was the book that Dennis Hopeless was teasing at Heroes Con.
Yeah.
I was trying to get the dirt from him. No pun intended.
What? No.
Young Justice.
Wait, hold on. We haven't heard this yet. Oh, that was kind of muted.
It was still loud.
Okay.
Justice League cartoon is coming to season one. It was going to Blu-ray. The first season is already on Netflix. Just sign up for that.
Yeah, basically. I mean, this is just a repackage of what was already out and. Whatever.
That was their big news.
Yeah.
That was the big thing.
Yeah.
Not even season one and season two.
Nope. Just season one on Blu-ray and the first 12 in a repackage for like $5 less.
The lameness.
Even as a Young Justice fan, I don't see the point in that.
Yeah.
Galaxy Quest sequel comic announced, along with Orphan Black and a Saga Deluxe hardcover.
All right, well, forget those last two parts, but Galaxy Quest sequel comic, that's cool.
So wait, the Orphan Black one, I believe, came out last week, but we didn't.
Also announced during Comic-Con was Roy Harper's new identity that he'll be donning. I believe I talked about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they teased who the big bad villain will be in season 3. And announcements this week that Wildcat will be joining the cast and Plastique will be joining Flash.
Flash.
Yeah. How do you say her name?
Oh, Evangeline.
Evangeline Lilly will be start playing Hope Pym / Van Dyne, depending on what website you're checking out. Basically, she's the daughter of Hank Pym.
Mm-hmm. And Janet from A Next.
And Corey Stoll will be playing villain, aka Yellow Jacket.
Interesting.
And there's some variant covers to the Avengers and New Avengers times runs out.
Hope, and from what it looks like, the only reason I put that in is because it looks like War Machine is back as opposed to Iron Patriot.
Oh, yeah.
Right, and Captain Britain makes an appearance on those covers, too.
And what looks like Pete Wisdom for some reason.
I got to look at that again.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out who the guy in the suit was.
I think that's Pete Wisdom. That's what people were saying.
Because it's Captain Britain's on there, so they're on together. Or
sure, it's not Coulson. He's everywhere.
Probably is. They announced the Agent or the Shield comic from Mark Waid.
Right. See that. What's cool about that is that Waid is writing it, and that would actually get me to buy that.
I'm still gonna skip it, not because I don't like Waid, but just because.
Yeah, you're not interested in the characters. I get it.
Yeah, I don't care about S.H.I.E.L.D. and the rotating artists and pulling whatever characters. I don't read Secret Avengers as it is, so.
Right, but the thing about Secret Avengers is, it's supposed to be like this, Black Ops Avengers team, and they get their memory wiped. There's a gag about that in this week's
Avengers World.
Mm-hmm. But I'm hoping that that's not going to be part of the story in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So I'm really hoping that they kind of expand on it's nice to see the TV characters really crossing over into the comics.
Yeah, we'll get the
talk about corporate synergy, right?
I was going to say, but we'll get the uninteresting war character in our comics. All right, so let's get to reviewing some of the books for this week.
Yeah.
Hey, Ben, did you get to see Galaxy before you came in here? Or?
That what?
Guardians.
Did you go to see Galaxy?
Oh, yeah. I was going to talk about that whenever other people have a chance to see it.
Okay.
It was cool.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I assume you stuck to the end.
Yes.
Awesome.
Did you see it already?
I did. I just passed for that's when I was late. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. We'll talk later.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I've heard the spoiler of the ending.
Did you?
Yeah.
Y'all going on mute?
It's actually someone already filmed the ending and put it online.
No, it's all you're good. Yeah, I figured somebody. I saw cameras out at the end, but yeah,
that's not right. People took the cameras out to spoil that and post it online. That's just not right.
I will say this was the first one I've gone into. I didn't know what the post credit scene was going to be.
Well, yeah, you knew it was going to be Cable, right? I mean, yeah. Oh, sorry, did I just spoil it?
I heard that, but that was not the effect.
The glowing eye. Like,
that's impossible.
Oh man, let's just say. Older people would nothing. Not expect it. Yeah, no, I'm just saying that you would not expect that one. That's all I'm saying. All
right. Was there a lot of? Here's my question about it. Was there a lot of nerd splaining going on, like people turning to their neighbors, be like, "So this is who that person is"?
No, not from where I was sitting, but there was this jackass and his lady friend who thought he knew more than he did, but. Because he was saying stuff like, I know, because they did a little trivia thing before the movie, and there was giving away a book or something, a book in the poster and whatnot. And the guy was behind us. There was a question about Bradley Cooper, and the guy was like, "Well, I've seen movies 10 times more than everybody in this theater, and I don't know who that was." I'm sitting here like, shut up. And then he was making little stupid comments in the middle of the movie. But outside of that, there wasn't too much of that I could hear.
All right.
But there was, at appropriate parts, there were some clapping and some oohs, some ahs for callbacks and whatnot.
That's good. All right, cool. I'm looking forward to trying to catch it this weekend, so that we can talk about it next week.
Let's hear about the last issue of Five Weapons.
I hated to see this book because I enjoyed it. It was pretty good. They had to rush it because it was on it, but the way they did it was, I would imagine they could have, it seemed like the way they wrote it, they could have just done that almost anywhere, knowing that it could have come to the end. But it was basically started in the middle of whatever the arc was, and they were going up against. So the Five Weapons had a new combatant come through. There was basically a new group to come in and try to take over the school. But like I said, because they had to abbreviate it, this was when they had their big battle and resolution all in the same issue, which, like I said, they did the best they could with it, but it was right.
There's a kumbaya moment at the end, and I was kind of exactly. Like, oh, are you serious? And then it just ends, and I'm like, are you serious?
Yeah.
I remember liking this book, in that first arc, and, kind of jumping back in, because you guys kept talking about it and picking it up and just, appreciating the art and appreciating the story. And then I get to this point and not knowing that this was going to be the last issue, that was pretty jarring.
Yeah, and it was kind of like I wasn't really sure how much legs this book was going to have anyway going forward. Like, you could do a couple of things, especially after the last arc, but going forward, I don't think it was going to last too much longer.
Right.
So they could have at least completed this arc, and it would have been fine.
Because it originally was just a mini series that they decided to
expand.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did they reveal the person that drugged the nurse?
They did kind of touch on that.
Okay. All right. Let's see. What else is up? Let me talk about Uncanny Avengers, number 22.
I struggle with this book.
The end of Avenge the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been enjoying this long form story that Rick Remender has been telling. Last issue, Kang the Conqueror sees the power of a celestial, so he's all powerful now. And it's up to the Avengers, finally Unity Squad, they're finally united, and the surprise team to try to put a stop to Kang and his Kronos Corps. I reviewed this on theclicknation.com and popculturenetwork.com.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, to sum my feelings up, I was kind of disappointed in the ending.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't as climactic as everything had been building up to be, especially when you have Kang and with all his power.
Agreed.
It kind of just ended kind of easily, and some stuff was teased for later. Dealing Celestials, and we had a nice epilogue.
Right.
But, yeah, just kind of ended, and that was it.
Yeah. It ended on a line from Annie, which kind of made me chuckle, But you guys didn't get that? That joke just died.
Wait, for real? What happened?
I said the book ended on a line from Annie.
Which is ironic, considering that was one of the trailers in front of the movie. But anyway,
I struggled with this book. I kind of sat back and tried to think. So, where's this book going? And it's kind of, I kind of struggle with this not being an alternate reality. I was looking at it like, wow, so this is really where the status quo for these characters is now, and just kind of being confused by a lot of it. Maybe I just haven't been tracking the story very well. And, as you said, the ending was really anticlimactic and just not very, it just didn't seem very well done.
Yeah, I'm trying not to spoil anything by getting into it, but just
exactly. Like, it was just not dramatic at all. The ending, you know. So I agree with you on that, and I definitely see where you're coming from. As I said, I struggle with this book reading it. I just wasn't sure how to feel about it.
I haven't really struggled reading it because I've been into it since since I guess issue 5 or 6.
Right. See, I read the whole thing, and I think this was the hardest issue to read, to be perfectly honest. You know, I think last issue was pretty good because it was leading into this issue. Maybe if it was like a double-sized extravaganza, maybe it would have read a little bit better.
Well, I was going to ask you if it would have been better off if it had left off last issue.
So. Yeah. It's a good question. I'm going to have to go back and read the last issue again. You know, like I said, maybe I lost track of where the story was going. And where it had left off in the last issue. So, you know, as I said, you know, I struggle with reading this. So, you know, it's definitely not one of the easier reads for me this week or one of the better reads.
It's almost like Remender's almost turned this into like his own Hickman Avengers, where if you haven't really been reading from the beginning of the story, you could be kind of lost trying to just jump into it.
Oh, definitely. I agree with that. That's definitely his, you know, he's definitely in that long form mode, and you definitely need to at least backtrack to the last couple of issues to figure out what's going on.
So read it and trade, basically.
Yeah.
Who else wants to name something?
Let me throw out Uncanny X-Men number 24.
The Last Will and Testament of Charles Xavier.
The next chapter in the Last Will and Testament of Charles Xavier. I thought this was actually a pretty entertaining issue because it dealt with a lot of the drama, you know, the interpersonal drama between the two rival Xavier schools, basically, even though one is called the Jean Grey School. But they're basically the two Xavier schools. And, you know, I thought that, you know, this is a you know, one of the problems I had with the issue was that I still felt like they could have told this story and the issue before this in one book, but you know, this is more decompressed storytelling to a certain extent. I think that, you know, we're moving forward and trying to find out what this, because it is an Original Sin tie-in. We've taken 2 issues to get to what the Original Sin actually is.
Right? Why is this an Original Sin tie-in when it has nothing to do with – I mean, yes, the secret comes out, but
right.
It has nothing to do with the Original Sin at all.
Well, you know, the point is exactly secrets. You know,
it looks like Guardians of the Galaxy's tie-in is going to be the exact same thing. It's just going to be like, well, we're going to tell you a bunch of secrets now.
Right. So, but ultimately, you know, but as I said, it's 2 issues to get to the secret. I'm like, really? You know, that's just, you know – talk about milking it.
Was it gonna be 3 issues?
Oh, that's right. To get to the actual secret. That's great.
Yeah, you have next issue. But at least they revealed stuff here, so
right.
I enjoyed it a lot more. The cover is very deceiving.
Yes. The cover is very deceiving, by the way.
They like to deceive people in these Bendis book covers, whether it's Captain Marvel showing up on a cover or all new Dazzler who does nothing.
That's right. He just stands and then jumps into a teleportational. It's a stepping disc. Isn't that what magic calls her things? I forget what they're. A scrying disc, I think.
Sure. Yeah.
So. Okay. Well, that's what I call it. I mean, right. I don't know what she calls it, but that's what I call it.
It's old school. That's old school New Mutants right there. A scrying pool, or no, it's not a scrying pool, but it's a stepping disc. I think that's what she calls her teleportational thing. How about anyone read Cyclops number 3?
I sure did.
Oh, yeah, I did read that.
Cyclops number 3 is actually pretty good. You know, I'm enjoying where this is going. I'm enjoying kind of the father-son thing, and I like that they tied in what was his name? Vulcan. Remember him, the third Summers brother that wasn't Gambit? Yeah, right?
Or Adam X.
Exactly, or Adam X. You know, they tied in some Vulcan storylines from War of Kings, you know, some more cosmic stuff. And I honestly couldn't remember some of the stuff that Corsair was recounting. I'm like, that's what happened? I don't remember that. Now I have to go back and dig through that. So, you know, I like that they kind of, you know, tried to stir some memories, you know, in some of the longtime readers, and they, you know, they basically just established what was going on, and, you know, the fact that, you know, there's a reason why some things are happening in the book, that, you know, that it basically explains why Corsair is acting the way he's acting, and now it provides another, I guess, point for the story to follow, you know, to you know, another direction to go into.
Although I'm wondering if his story that he tells Scott is even the truth, you know, because I mean he is a dirtbag pirate.
That's
you know?
True.
He very well could be lying to his own son about his situation.
He's a scoundrel, just like Star-Lord.
He's right. A scurvy scoundrel. Oh,
right. Part of me thinks that it's not a red herring. I'm fairly certain that you know. That they're using this as a means to tell you know a father son type story and a coming of age story too.
I just like the fact that this Scott Summers is still taking digs at the other Scott Summers. This is the good Cyclops.
Yeah, he's young and not
a giant d bag.
Shots fired. Shots fired. It was classic.
It's going to be the time we come back together like, oh, yeah, remember when I dissed myself. What is that about?
We should also point out that the creative team on this will be changing after issue 6.
Aww.
Yep. This is good, by the
way. This is the only X book that I'm reading.
I could, if I had to trim my X-Men books, it would be all new X-Men, Cyclops. That's probably really all I'd need, and I'm a big X-Men fan. Maybe I guess Uncanny X-Men, because kind of have that sister book to all new. But yeah, this is up there for my click of the week. Just a couple contenders.
No kidding.
Nice. But yeah, new creative team is John Layman, the writer, and some artists I haven't heard of.
I'm actually kind of disappointed that this is not like a 12 issue series, you know, or a 6 issue series. I'm disappointed that this is going to go on and on.
It might end up being that depending on.
Might end up being a 10 issue series.
Right.
Supposedly Greg Rucka had to go back to his novel commitments.
All right.
Let's see. Justice League number 32.
This wasn't bad. For me, it's far too much the Lex Luthor show.
Well, this one is really the Doom Patrol.
This is
the backdoor pilot for Doom Patrol.
Yeah. Agreed.
Which I really found amusing. I like how the chief in this version of Doom Patrol, he really is a dirtbag.
Mm-hmm.
Like he is not a nice guy.
He's over the top, you know.
Well,
he's over the top D-bag.
He's made this way to be a counterpoint to Luthor. I mean, that's what they're setting him up for. And it's funny.
As a real counterpoint to Luthor? Like, I don't see them as opposite sides of a coin, per se.
But they're both working, quote unquote, on the heroic side. But they both have villainous intents. Luthor is just much more subtle about it, whereas the chief is more like a cult leader in a way. Right. Although it's funny because he was always in a wheelchair in the old Doom Patrol, and the final panel of this issue kind of hints at that being his future if you actually look at it pretty closely.
Right.
But no, I mean I enjoyed it. I thought it was well done for what it was, but you have to pick this up going, hey, I'm going to read a Doom Patrol book, not a Justice League book, you know. But I did like the power ring kind of flashback, kind of looking at what it's like for her when when Cyborg is able to tap in, you know, and read the thoughts.
Yeah, I was kind of confused by that. Like, what is Cyborg doing? What is he? He wants to turn the ring. Wait, is this the a previous plot point from the Forever Evil storyline? What the heck?
It's that the power ring, instead of being tied to a battery, it is itself its own intelligence.
No, I understand that part I got. You know, but in terms of like his tactic, you know, Cyborg's tactic. It's like, oh, if I can connect to it, I can turn it off. Like, wait, what? When did this happen? Why would he even try this?
Well, it's just technology. He's confident. You know, the same way if I get into a fight with this guy, I know I can beat him up. If I can interface with this technology, I can shut it down because I'm that good. You know, that's what he's thinking. He was wrong, but that's
what because what I'm thinking is, well, it's not like there's an access panel, like R2 rolling up to the access panel and trying to plug in, you know?
It's like Independence Day. If you've got a MacBook, you can write a virus and fix down an entire alien technology. But it's funny because, of course, the cover plays off the fact that Luther has figured out Bruce Wayne's identity, and that has absolutely nothing to do with it.
That's right. That is right.
So I guess maybe Bendis was involved in
putting this together.
But no, like I said, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it, you know, despite the fact that it's not a Justice League book. I can understand people who picked up this issue being a little disappointed by it.
Yeah, another deceiving-ish cover. That cover plays nothing into the actual issue.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, in this week's DC books, they published a map of the multiverse.
Yeah, they also sent posters to your local comic shop. So next time you're in there, take a look at the walls. They may have it.
Right.
It's got a lot more detail on the poster than they have in there.
I was just going to say, just from what I, you know, from what I was able to spot, you know, there's some definite clues as to what the characteristics of each world is just based on how it's depicted on the map. So, you know, take a close look at this and, you know, see where this multiversity concept is going.
Yeah, actually, I noticed there's like a Bizarro universe apparently. That one kind of stands out. There's the Superman Red Sun universe is part of the 52 apparently. World 26.
Yes, the cartoon.
That was Captain Carrot and Mizan Zucru, I'm guessing on that one. But then right above 26, there is a World 8.
Mm-hmm.
And it almost looks like a Fantastic Four logo.
Yes.
So I'm kind of interested.
To be perfectly honest, number 36 looks like Captain Planet.
Well,
like,
you know what? You look at it now, Dirt, you'd be like, oh man, that's Captain Planet.
No, that's the United Nations.
Oh my goodness. That's funny. But yeah, you know, go in there and check that out, folks, and come back and tell us what you think some of these worlds are.
I like the world with the offspring of all the heroes.
The world with the offspring of all the heroes.
I forget what number it was. I was reading Newsroom. I had an article describing some of the worlds. It's the world.
Oh, it's not obvious. Right. I gotcha. It's not obvious from the
pictures.
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah, you can't tell. All right. Let me find one. What did I like?
Oh, the Bizarro world is supposed to be the square. Oh, I gotcha.
So it's like it's not a planet deep in space or anything like that. There's actually a universe of cube planets.
Right. There you go. You guys see it on the screen.
Yep. Let me look.
He's got to talk. Ride a cat, talk.
Boo.
There you go.
There it is. For those of you watching live, you've seen it, and now it's time to go out and at least flip through a DC book to catch that. All right, let's see what else can we talk about. Did anybody read? Well, go ahead.
Ultimate FF number 5.
I flipped through this.
This was awesome.
I flipped through this. I skimmed what was going on, and I got to the end, Dirt, and I was like, are you serious right now?
Yep. Okay, so first of all, this Miles Morales, the Ultimate Spider-Ham.
Oh, God. And I didn't read it. I just noticed it was a ham. Lord.
He talks about how Mooster Fantastic, Hulk Bunny, Quacksilver, Sue Simeon, Doctor Doom.
Doctor Doom.
Galactopus.
Oh, my God.
He's basically... The concept of the parallel Earths. You know, we have right. the idea that the ultimate FF and Earth 616 have this, you know, symbiotic relationship. You know, you see these parallels of what happens in one universe happens in the other universe. And that is something that everybody understands. So what they've done in this book, they said, well, okay, then fine. The world of Spider-Ham is another symbiotic link. What's happening in that universe, what happens there, obviously is tied into what's happening in these other universes. So there's an ultimate, this is like the ultimate Spider-Ham universe. So think about that. Then there's two of these universes. And in the ultimate Spider-Ham universe, the universe has been destroyed by Galactus. Actually not by him. They defeat him just like they have in the ultimate universe. But then the universe was still destroyed later on. I guess I won't, you know, spoil everything right. here. But the point is that Miles Morhamis has actually gone to several parallel universes, has been making his way across universes and has landed in the ultimate universe. And he basically says it's the same thing. Every universe I go to, it doesn't matter what differences there are. It always comes down to Sue Storm. And if she's with Reed and they have a child, the universe lives. If she ends up with Dr. Doom in the other universes or Ben Grimm and the universe fails. And so she's got to, you know, has to get back with Reed somehow and make this child because the child is what saves the universe. Well, that's Earth 616, you know. Reed and Sue are together. They have children. So that universe is okay. The ultimate universe, there is no... children. There's no offspring of the FF. So Sue is the biggest badass in the Ultimate Universe. The end of this issue is just she knows something's got to get done and she's going to take care of it.
Right.
And she's going to do it her way and not the way of anybody else. And I will say one thing. I have been pretty harsh. Like, I like the story in this book. I like it a lot. But I've been harsh on the artwork for the last several issues because it's been pretty terrible. And I have to say, I don't know if they brought in...
They brought in the guy from Avengers AI.
Right, this is a different artist.
Okay. Because this definitely felt... It's still not perfect. It's still not the best artwork out there. But this is tons better than where it's been. Which is a shame that, you know, one issue away from cancellation of the series, and they finally, like, start to clean up their act a little bit. But
too little, too late.
I love Dr. Doom runs in to confront the ultimate Spider-Ham, and he's like, tell us the truth or die, you swine.
Oh, yes, that's a great
one. And he's like, that's racist. Because he's a pig, you know?
That was a great one. And the crowd agrees.
I wish the artwork had been on par with the story because I think this series would have had a lot more life to it. But, I mean, this is definitely showing that in the ultimate universe, there are, you know, people willing to take risks and go out there creatively and just, you know, you don't have to follow the same rules that you have in the regular Marvel universe. So let's play with it and see what we can actually get away with. And I think the storyline of Ultimate FF has been great. It's just the artwork has not been there to support it. And unfortunately it doomed the book. So I'm really looking forward to the next issue because I really want to see how this wraps up. But at the same time, I really don't want that next issue to come because then it's over.
All right.
Okay, what else you guys got? Hawkeye 19.
Yes. What'd you think, Tom?
Another Click of the Week contender. So I had told myself after all the delays, I'm not going to read Hawkeye anymore.
I did say that.
But
liar.
David Aja. It's the main cast. You know, it's David Aja back, and it's dealing with Clint and Barney Barton. So I said, and I heard it was the, quote unquote, the sign language issue. So, mm-hmm. Hey, I'll give it a read. It was pretty fun. It's very little dialogue, and it's mostly sign language drawn by David Aja, because Hawkeye, after the beating that him and his brother took at the Tracksuit Mafia, which I don't even remember now because it's been so long.
It was the clown came and just and kind of wrecked shop for a sec. Yeah.
So after that, I guess he got deaf. Could you tell from the beating that he lost his hearing?
Well, yes, kind of. But thinking back on it, yes. But at the same time, I was thinking back. I was like, wait a minute, Hawkeye was already partially deaf. So, and that right there, well, they were making it like this was the cause as opposed to, well, actually none of that, because they're basically saying that he was already partially deaf from when he was a kid.
Exactly, and that's where he has a knowledge of sign language.
Right. But I do remember reading another miniseries back in the day where he actually did go partially deaf. So I don't know if that's canon or not, or it was kind of weird. But yeah, this was definitely a good read. I kind of wish now, and I think David Aja, or I guess Aja said something, was like, yeah, if you don't really get everything in this book, then you kind of get what it feels like to be disabled kind of thing. Stuff like that. And if you get that, then, you know.
It's an interesting point.
Yeah. And you kind of can't, because unless you know sign language or come across some kind of, if you come across some sign language literature, then you could probably dope it out. So.
Well, what I wanted to do this weekend is just sit in front of, like, you know, like pull it up on like Google and just look at and just take a look at what some of these signs are really saying. But yeah. Although I figured out Clint right away, after that I was lost.
Yeah, it's like some of that you was already kind of given away, or they did the Scooby Doo thing. Was like, not Scooby Doo. I shouldn't say it that way, but yeah. You get to know what they said because somebody responds to it, type of deal.
Right.
So. And then next month, his brother is going to go blind, so the book is going to be all black pages with word balloons.
Oh, Lord.
There are only, what, 3 issues left, I guess? Because I think it's going to end at 22, so they're going to. This is heating up to another run-in with the Tracksuit Mafia.
All right. I like the book. I just, you know, I wasn't, you know, as I said, I think it bears a second reading with some sign language reference so I can actually understand what's going on.
Yeah, a lot of it is kind of guesswork. Even when Hawkeye is doing the reading of the lips, a lot of it, of course, he doesn't really know what they're saying, so it's some trial and error.
No, he knows what they're saying, but...
But not, he doesn't even... Reading the lips, he can't read the lips and know 100% what they're saying. So, like, when the word balloons are put up, it's like half of words.
Right, like he's kind of half, like half getting it or something.
Yeah.
So, I hate to see this book go. This was a good issue. You know, if you haven't had a chance to listen to read it, then go forth.
All Mustangs must come to an end.
Sadly.
Rapid review time.
Yeah, let's throw out some books. Well, there's still a couple books that a bunch of us read. So, but let's try to get through. How about Avengers World number 10?
I'm still here.
This series has picked up.
Yes, definitely. I like where it's going. You know, this directly follows. At least they touch on the Sunspot and Cannonball story. Only briefly, but I think they're keeping that as part of the climax of this particular story arc. You know, like they're keeping what developed in that issue and pushing that off to develop some more into the next one. A lot of the quickie notes that you guys put up basically say the same thing, that the story's building, you know, it's basically building to a crescendo. So this is one of the books this week that I found were just sort of like a building block or a stepping stone towards a bigger story. that, you know, this was like kind of running rampant through the list of books this week, where there were, you know, each book was just sort of like a something to build on what came before to lead up to the, you know, I guess the finale in a story. So, you know, if there's one, you know, small criticism, it's that. But I do like where this is going. I like that Forsen, the AIM scientist, kind of took some real shots at Tony Stark, and you know, and sort of like a kind of a meta commentary on the current state of affairs, you know, in the world today. And, you know, I kind of like that, you know, even though it was given, you know, short, you know, a short amount of time to kind of develop, it was still, you know, it was still pretty, it was entertaining for what it was. And like I said, it was nice to see, you know, the AIM storyline. I know you don't like AIM, Tim.
I was going to say, every time AIM shows up in this, I'm just like,
It was nice to see that AIM, you know, the Force and scientist character really, you know, standing toe to toe with, you know, one of the Marvel Universe's Illuminati like that.
Yeah, trying to be a force.
Right.
I like that. I like all the different teams Nick Spencer's introduced, the Euro Force, and
I'm really hoping that.
What's the China team called? The abbreviation Spear.
Yeah.
No. That's the shield. That's the shield. That's China's shield.
Yeah.
But no. But the team has another name. The Ascendants.
Yeah. The Ascendants. Yeah.
Right. That's lame. The name is lame. But I like Spear being, you know, being the Chinese counterpart for Shield.
Yeah. Speaking of which, I kind of like the little dig that the Black Knight did.
Oh yes.
When he brought up, it was like, yeah, thanks for not calling me back, you jerks.
Yep. I like that. But then there's an old school Marvel caption where they're like, well, maybe this is because, you know, right, Dane Whitman was going a little crazy or something like that. I got to get out of that.
From Avengers Original – not Avengers, Original Sin, which, yeah.
Sins.
Excuse me. You're right.
Plural.
Yeah.
So, I like that. That was pretty good.
Yeah. And so, the fact that I'm really hoping they don't do an all-new with the group that shows up, that Sunspot and Cannonball coming back with.
Still don't want to spoil it because we want to see where it goes.
Right.
I'd read a series with those.
Really? You would.
Probably. Yeah.
That is right up his alley.
Yeah.
All righty. How about more rapid fire stuff?
Guardians of the Galaxy was eh. That's
yeah,
all
right. It was all right. It was all right.
Had multiple artists.
What was annoying about it was that it was kind of like a getting the band back together kind of issue, and it doesn't and it leaves one of the characters out in the wind, and it's so weird that, you know, they just introduced this character to the story, you know, to the team, and now they're just going on and moving on without him.
Yeah.
So Venom's already out?
Pretty much.
Well, he probably wasn't going to be there long anyway.
Well, I mean, you say he's out, but I'm sure they'll pick it back up after the three-part Original Sin tie-in.
Right. And because they're supposed to be doing a part with him and the symbiote at some point.
Yeah. Which I'm glad Bendis is doing something with that, because the symbiote's been around for so long, and it's just like, yeah, how come no one's ever decided to do, like, history of finding out what's the deal with these symbiotes?
Right.
Well, they were too busy, you know, creating offspring for the symbiotes.
Or it didn't matter because they didn't need it for any story.
Right. And besides, space, you know, like Marvel cosmic stuff wasn't all that big for a long, long time, remember? So if anything cosmic related, you know, once the Infinity Gauntlet and War and Crusade stuff kind of died down, you know, until Annihilation, you know, and that, you know, the Abnett and Lanning stuff, you know, Marvel Cosmic really didn't have much of a footing, so they didn't really have a place to tell, you know, symbiote origin stories, you know?
Yeah.
Did anybody read the Red Lanterns annual?
No.
Nope.
They've been, this whole time, they've been leading up to this fight, Atrocitus versus Guy Gardner. And, you know, they said, here's this annual. This is going to be, you know, the big battle between them. And I'm like, good, because I don't care for Atrocitus. Like, I just, the character's not interesting. He's just kind of pointless. And I was hoping that that would be the end of him. And it's not. This is basically a big battle to start the next chapter of their ongoing war. This is to set up the next 12 issues of whatever they're doing against each other. So, like, I was kind of hoping that this would get rid of Atrocitus and then I could, just enjoy this book for what it is. But nope, it's not. And I was really disappointed.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
That sucks. Who read New Avengers number 21?
I did.
I actually did.
Hey, we can all talk about this.
Because there were so few books I wanted to read this week. I was like, I got to read something. Hey, there's stuff blowing up. I better check this one out.
Oh, it is there.
Yeah.
I enjoyed this.
I did. This is pre-show where I was talking about how I was really having a lot of trouble picking out a click of the week. This is my click of the week.
Okay.
I enjoyed reading this. I thought that, a lot of the moral and ethical dilemmas were just very real, even though, I thought it was written kind of corny. And the person who I thought would do it, would do the deed, ended up doing it.
Yeah.
So, I guess in that regard, it was kind of predictable. But at the same time, I thought it was, for the most part, well done and well executed. So that's why this is my click of the week. I don't know how much of this I want to spoil. But as Dirt said, stuff blows up real good.
Actually, I have to say, I went back. I mean, this is literally how bad this week was of comics for me. I actually went back and read, the two issues that led up to this.
Okay.
As well as this one. Because I had so much time, because there was nothing really interesting to me this week. And, since we're not spoiling it, I found that I actually identified – well, I don't want to say identified, but the character who decides that the time is now, something has to be done, so he's going to be the one to do it.
Right.
I kind of sided with him.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, he's absolutely correct.
Right.
There is no way out of this. And all of the grandstanding and the moral platitudes that everyone's throwing out there, it's like, okay, well, that's great, but you're just standing around wasting time.
Exactly.
You're going to say, and you're hoping that someone else is going to make that decision because you don't want to have to make it because you're not strong enough to make it basically how it came across to me.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he had already been leading up to that fight. He had already done it at least one or two times already. So it was either going to go, well, one of the ones you didn't expect was going to do it, or he was going to end up doing it, which turned out to be the case.
Right. Well, I think Hickman was definitely foreshadowing. There's some dialogue between the Black Swan and Maximus that was foreshadowing who was going to do the deed. And it was between one of two, and the two that, with the obvious, kind of the obvious choices were the ones who were kind of left with the option, and one took the option before the other had a chance to respond and do it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think that there was definitely some foreshadowing there. And I think that, I'm not going to spoil too much by saying, heavy is the head that bears the crown. I forget the exact saying. It's a little late at night for me to try to remember this, this quote, but that's pretty much where this goes. And I liked the issue. I enjoyed reading it. Like I said, all the other negatives aside, this is my click of the week.
I'm looking at it. I actually read the issue after this as well.
Yeah, I started flipping through it today when I was at work.
Really?
Really?
That's what I was thinking of in the back of my head was actually in New Avengers 22. When you – if you haven't read – well, you probably haven't read 22 yet. When you get a chance to sit down and read 22
– because I only have a time – I only have a time machine, hanging out in the Baxter building every – I can go visit it every other day.
Hey, time messed up, so you could have that. You could actually have that.
Right. Review copies are nice. What can I say?
I know.
New Avengers 20. Okay, I'll say that if you enjoyed this issue, wait till the next one, because the next one was great.
Nice.
I mean, I mean, I was actually thinking in my head when I was talking about 21, I was actually thinking about 22 for the most part, because once I got done with 22, I was like, this guy, you're supposed to hate him, but I don't.
Fans.
And I've never much cared for the guy.
I always liked him because, you know, I always wanted, you know, like in my mind, you know, my 5 to 10 year old mind, I was like, well, you know, we at least got to be able to, you know, have an Avenger against a Justice Leaguer and kind of, you know, be able to fight on all fronts. You know, I'm kind of spoiling it by even putting it that way, right? Because there's got to be someone who can fly. There's got to be someone who can do this. And there's got to be someone who, you know, talks to the fishes.
I'm about to say, and plus he's getting a more humanizing treatment in another book anyway.
Right.
Kind of splits the difference.
Yeah, I'll pick New Avengers 22 then as my click of this week. Can I do that?
Time is broken.
So wrong.
That's funny.
Oh man.
How are you gonna make me read it? You know, when I get offline. That's funny.
Clicks of the week time.
Wait a minute. I got one more book to talk about.
Go.
If I can find it. This is a book. Honestly, I don't know why I picked this up and read it, other than, like I said, I was bored and had limited options to read stuff this week. So I picked up this book called Wool from Cryptozoic Entertainment. This is Hugh Howey, who is a New York Times bestselling author of novels, getting into the comic book game. And somehow he has teamed up with Jimmy Palmiotti and Justin Gray. And has written this story that is being adapted here. And it is a post-apocalyptic future, which, as I've stated before, I'm a sucker for those types of stories anyway. And what he has done is he's taken the Earth is terrible. These survivors are being held up within, you know, their own confines here to survive. But he's mixed in with it like a healthy distrust of the government. There's rebellions. There's people saying that we're not being told the whole story of what's going on. And someone goes out to try to, you know, find the truth. And the civilization that they have built, so many people just want the security of where they're living that they don't even want to explore the possibility that there might be something else, you know, going on in the world around them. So there's reflections of other things happening in the real world that are woven in as part of the story. And the artwork is very, it's perfect for this story. It's Jimmy Broxton, who it kind of looks familiar, but the name, you know, doesn't necessarily sound all that familiar, but it's the perfect style artwork for this type of story. It's a lot of dark, thick black lines and areas of shadow, areas of light, and it really paints the atmosphere perfectly. And this, all the characters, they never do any of that stuff where, you know, a lot of times you get a first issue and they have to go, there's Bob. Well, you know, Bob lost his wife last week and he's been having a hard time ever since and they give like all that history. You know, you always have characters that some reason have to have this conversation about everybody's backstory in order to, you know, tell you who these characters are. And in this book, they don't have to do that. Just the conversations that they're having with each other, it takes a while. You have to get about 3/4 of the way through the book before you're kind of confident with who these characters are. But they just set it up exactly. The people are acting the way they're going to act, they're reacting the way they're going to act, and you start to get a feel for who they are as the story moves along without having any of those moments of too much exposition that normally bog down a first issue. So maybe it could go back to the fact that I had zero expectations. I didn't even realize this was coming out. You know, I just kind of grabbed it because I wanted something to read. This was actually really well done, and I'm really looking forward to the next issue. So if anybody else is a sucker of post-apocalyptic and they like some sci-fi stuff, then check this one out. It's worth your time.
Cool.
Cool. Well, real quick, Harley Quinn number 8. Fun read. Skate Club. Don't talk about Skate Club. There's a lot of there's a nice little dig at DC in the page, which actually somebody posted on. Oh, no, it was a posted in online that I think Bleeding Truth got an article on that. If you just don't want to read and get to that part, but it was a pretty fun read.
Is a dig at DC? Okay.
Kinda. Yeah.
Anything else?
Oh, real quick, if anyone's been reading X-Men, Adjectiveless X-Men, yep. X-Men number 17, the storyline ended and is very anticlimactic.
Yeah.
Just like the last storyline.
And it's kind of setting up, and obviously it's, well, not obviously, but it's kind of setting up for another one that's probably going to be coming along.
Was that Wood's last issue?
I'm not sure if it's this one or if it's the next. It might be.
Right. And if you want another deceiving cover, that does not
have
this issue.
Agreed.
It's getting real close to my stop reading list because nothing's really happening in it. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why that World War Wendigo is like 6 issues long.
Oh, God. Tell me about it.
X-Men, what are you doing?
Yeah, seriously. They're rudderless right now. That's what I don't like about it. You know, as much as we enjoy, you know, like we, you know, I've always been an Avengers guy and a big X-Men fan also, but I feel like there's a definite direction to most of the Avengers books and there's just no direction in the X-Men universe right now. I think it's developing. I think they're about to go into, I think they're about to, you know, develop some real direction. I hate to say this, once they kill off Wolverine and kind of reestablish what makes these books, you know, what gives them each purpose.
Well, some of these books don't even deal with Wolverine, except, I guess, because, yeah, he's not an X-Men. Amazing X-Men, he's there, but he's not the focus. Wolverine and X-Men, he's there, but it's like the whole death thing is looming.
Yeah.
I will say, I listed 2 books I would keep for the X-Men line if I was reading. Third would be All New X-Factor.
Because that's kind of his own thing, right?
Exactly. It's off in its own corner.
Yep.
All right.
Clicks of the week.
Okay.
So I've already said mine. Mine is New Avengers number 21. I enjoyed it. You know, all the moral platitudes, as Dirt said, and the ethical dilemmas being debated and the final. You know, I love how the cover does not reveal who, you know, who does the deed, you know.
But that scene is in the book.
Yes, it's in there. This is not a case of false advertising, people.
Actually, you know what? Everybody mark your calendar because I'm a green. I'm going to make this my click of the week as well, and it is an Avengers Marvel book. Who knew this could happen?
Wow. Yeah. Damn.
This goes to show.
The hell?
Oh. Slow week for Dirt's reading.
Yeah, seriously. This is definitely a slow week for, you know, on Dirt's reading list.
My click of the week is Cyclops number 3. A Marvel book, go figure. That's all I read.
Well, I had a stretch there where I was picking like DC like 2-3 weeks in a row.
I feel like I read an Image book this week, though. Maybe not. I closed the spreadsheet, so I don't know what I had up.
Well, then.
That's funny.
That leaves me then, and I will go with the probably obvious choice of Hawkeye number 19. We'll leave it at that.
Yeah, I mean, that's all I got to say.
You can sign your
Yeah, exactly, right? I sound like Arsenio. I read somewhere... an online, I don't know if it was like a quick blurb or something where this is just, where it seems like this is just a, like, they called it Eisner bait.
Yeah. I saw that article.
You know?
Yeah. I would almost agree with that. I actually would agree with that.
You know?
That's not detracting the fact that it's good, but
right.
Yeah.
All right, so... I want to thank everyone for tuning in to tonight's show live, or if you're watching on YouTube or listen to the audio version of the podcast, I want to encourage you to go to theclicknation.com, find previous episodes of the Comic Book Chronicles, Comic Book Reviews, and the Click Nation podcast will have episodes coming out very shortly for you.
Yay!
Once I post it. Follow us on our individual Twitter accounts. I'm at TimDOGG98 and at TheClickNation. Roddy Cat is at Roddy Cat and at NewsNerdsNeed. Agent 70 is at Agent_70. And Dirt is at PCN_Dirt. Go to his website, popculturenetwork.com. So with that, we bid you adieu. We are the Comic Book Chronicles, and we are signing off.